We're joined now by the former President of Ireland and former UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Mary Robinson. Good afternoon, Mrs. Robinson. Thank you for joining us on the programme. Now, we've asked you to come on to discuss the latest report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. But before I do that, I'd like to get your reaction to what we've just been hearing there from Kim in Ukraine. Can whoever carried out these killings, whoever ordered them, whoever's responsible, be allowed to act with impunity?
That is something that mustn't happen, Brian. We have to end impunity. And first of all, it's good that, when I say it's good, it's grim that it's so visible that we can actually have reporters, as you've just heard, going in, that we have satellite imagery, that we have the sites secured, because that's really important. And what we are witnessing are basically the essence of war crimes and crimes against humanity, but they have to be proved with very strict evidence. I mean, this is part of my work as the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights. I understand about securing the site, about getting as much reporting on as possible of direct contact, and then the forensic examination. All of that has to happen. But the International Criminal Court is seized with the matter now. The prosecutor has agreed, it's been supported by 39 countries, including Ireland, that they will look at the potential evidence of war crimes and crimes against humanity. And crimes against humanity is a sort of more than an individual war crime, which is a murder or a torture or a rape of civilians during war in violation of the laws of war, or taking hostages. That sort of thing. But the crimes against humanity is certain acts that are purposefully taken as part of a widespread or systematic policy directed against civilians. And I think Mariupol is a prime example of that. The siege, the work, the way that the Red Cross has been unable to get in, etc. All of that needs to be documented as a potential crime against humanity, as well as war crimes against individual civilians that are hurt. And the elders want to go further. We actually issued a statement on the 5th of March calling for a tribunal to be established to prosecute President Putin for potential crime of aggression. The crime of aggression exists under the Rome Statute, which is the famous statute to deal with this kind of area. And unfortunately, it can't be used directly under the Rome Statute, because neither Ukraine nor Russia is a member of the statute. And the only other way would be if it was referred by the UN Security Council. And of course, Russia would veto that. Right. So we need a special tribunal. And there's quite a lot of support for it. I know Ukraine itself wants it. I'm sure that President Zelensky will mention it when he addresses the Security Council today, because that goes to the head of state. That would actually attach to President Putin himself, if, of course, the evidence was fully established.
Well, no doubt we'll be discussing this more in the days and weeks ahead. But yesterday, Mrs. Robinson, we had the publication of the latest report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, warning that the world has just 3 years, that's the window, they say, to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees. And the UN General Secretary, Antonio Guterres, speaking of governments and businesses, saying one thing but doing another. Simply put, he said, they are lying. Now, we've had all these conferences and commitments, most recently in Glasgow. Why has more progress not been made faster, do you think?
Yeah, it's a good question. First of all, I think we have to be grateful to the scientists. They are doing their job, and they are producing these reports. This is the third report in the last 12 months, and this one is on the can of how we can reduce emissions. And what they say is, we can. Every sector has options available that will halve emissions by 2030. And you know, the cost of solar and wind has fallen enormously, solar by 85%. Electric cars are rolled out 100 times more than they were. And diet shifts can make a big difference. So, you know, it's also a can-do in an urgent situation where in the next 8 years, we have to reduce emissions by 43%. We're increasing them at the moment. It's moonshot time, I keep saying. The moonshot is when John F. Kennedy said we will put a man on the moon in 8 years. When he said it, it was totally impossible. It happened in 8 years. And that's the 8 years to 2030. We have to do a similar thing. The report says that countries should be increasing sixfold their commitment to move to clean energy, to invest in clean energy. You know, what if Ireland increased sixfold our current commitment to clean energy? This is what we need to be talking about.
We have here, of course, now a climate plan. There'll be climate budgets. There's a really very vigorous focus on tackling the issue. Is the ambition in this country enough?
Well, certainly I'm pleased that there is that ambition and that we have the carbon budget, and we're going to know more about it later this year. And I think we have to maintain the carbon tax because it is ring-fenced. It does provide some revenue for people to refit their houses, do the kind of refitting that will make their houses warmer and more energy efficient, etc. I keep saying, and you know, I really mean it, we have to spend our children's money in the urgency and the crisis that we're in, meaning that we have to, you know, have high costs of moving not only to clean energy, but also helping people who are in energy poverty. So that they don't have, you know, an extra cost or weight of that. We're spending our children's money because otherwise they won't have a livable future. It's as serious as that.
Mary,
you know, this is a really tough time, but then we should never waste a crisis because it's an opportunity. And the opportunity is that fossil fuels are fueling the war. We know that. We're paying Russia billions out of the oil and gas that they're supplying to continue the war. Mm-hmm. We need to get out of fossil fuel, but we need to do it without a total disruption of people's lives. Mm-hmm. So in the short term, we need to get the oil and gas from elsewhere, but in a very transition way, and then get out of fossil fuel. That's the message of the scientists. It's the message that the young people have been telling us for years. It is the message, full stop.
And back to where we began this conversation, which we will bring to a close now, but we perhaps will be able to return and speak to you again. Mary Robinson, thanks very much indeed for talking to us.